Hello, welcome to another From the Rookery End. My name's John, and this week's podcast is the first of two. This podcast is post-West Ham. It was a 3-1 defeat, but Jason and Mike were at the game, and they're going to pick it apart and find some positives somewhere along the line. But we will do another podcast after the Coventry game in the week in the Carabao Cup, Milk Cup, Littlewoods Cup, whatever cup you want to call it. So we hope you can join us for both those podcasts. So let's see how we find Jason and Mike after Saturday's game.
So you join us outside a sweltering Vicarage Road, Jason and I, Mike. If I'm sort of taking my time, we're all trying to compose ourselves so we don't jump off the deep end too much. But Jace, we'll start at the beginning. Can you put some meat onto the bones as well? Do you think that formation was and why you think you made those choices?
I mean, it looked like a 4-3-1-2, really. I think it probably a mixture of players or best players available to him, and probably just to tighten up the midfield a little. We saw against Brighton how we seem to lack a bit, especially thinking back to the third goal then, when Lewis Dunk just sort of strolled into midfield and stroked the ball through for their third goal. Completely open gaps in the middle, and perhaps he did that just to try and tighten up the midfield.
So he was cleverly coming back in to sort of gum it up a little bit.
Yeah, and he seemed to be the most advanced of the midfielders a lot of the time, and he seemed to be the one with the other three. I'm not sure the three quite got it today. At times they look good. At other times, particularly when we're defending, they looked a bit lost and not perhaps in the right place. But yeah, I think personnel and just to try and solidify the team, but it didn't work.
And of course, yeah, try being the operative word, because after, what was it, 3 minutes, we found ourselves 1-0 down. Another clean sheet bites the dust. Can you talk us through those first couple of minutes?
I mean, it was just awful, wasn't it? We just got caught flat. I think it started with Delafeu going down in the penalty area looking for a penalty that never was. And they've just sort of played the ball through our centre backs, caught flat footed, and we were just on the back foot from there. And then Cathcart, to be fair, did well to get back and sort of made a decent tackle, but couldn't quite get the ball away. It's then gone to the right. Foster's come out. And it was just, I think it was a lazy leg that got stuck out. Was it Decore? Decore sort of lazy leg, and down goes the play. And it was a clear as day penalty. Easy decision for the referee. And that, I mean, that just sets you off on the back foot straight. Not what you need when you're still sort of in your third game trying to pick up your first points of the season.
That said, I must say, I didn't feel that the game was completely gone at that stage. Well, you'd like to think not, with 87 minutes to go. But what I thought Watford did quite impressively was actually they came back into the game fairly solidly, and really until 25 minutes to go when they went 2-1 up, there was only one team in it, really. It's important to say that Watford's defence looked absolutely appalling throughout, didn't it? And I think that really probably is the elephant in the room that we need to address, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was. And yes, we did look good going forward. And yes.
Actually, probably an elephant on the pitch might have been a bit across the penalty area. But go on, sorry.
Yeah, we did look good going forward. And we did look like, funnily enough, we did look like we could score. Perhaps other teams would have scored with the chances we were creating. Equally, West Ham probably should have had a couple more. They should have been 2-0 up before we got our equaliser. At times, you're just sort of looking at that back four, and just for me there were some obvious issues going on out there, and it's just a bit worrying that we're not able to pick up on them. And one, Kiko Firmino, we said against Brighton how he looked the sort of almost the one positive going forward, trying to create something happen. Today I thought he struggled today. Yes, he got forward well again, but the his crossing wasn't great. But defensively, he was, I mean, there was just a massive gap between him and Dawson. You had Hollabass tucking in, then Cathcart, then Dawson. And it was almost sort of schoolboy defending. He was sort of almost sort of touch tight to the man out wide, leaving a massive hole for players to run through. And it didn't seem to change at any point. And then on the other side, they West Ham really didn't exploit that perhaps as much as they should have done. On the other side, that's where they were getting all the joy. And what seemed to be happening there was, one, Hollabass getting outpaced, I think, a few times. He was looking a bit tired early on, which is a bit worrying at this stage of the season. But also, every time they went down that side, they seemed to have an overload. There should have been someone there from midfield covering. And at times, there were various players in the midfield arguing with each other. At one point, sort of Decore and Capu seemingly, I think it was Capu trying to tell Decore what he was meant to be doing defensively. And we never seemed to get that clear in our heads what we should be doing defensively. And that's why every time West Ham got the ball, when they were counter-attacking us, they looked like they could score every opportunity.
I don't think it's overstating it to say that every time West Ham got the ball, it was heart and mouth time, wasn't it? Because it was just like they would go through it. But I thought Kapoor was interesting. He was very, very deep, wasn't he? And him and Decore, we didn't get that engine room, did we? What we used to say so much was about Watford when they play well is that they transition well. That just wasn't happening at all, was it, really?
No, and perhaps that's the negative side of having that sort of 3-1 in midfield, where we actually, rather than having Will Hughes playing in that wide role and cutting in, he's actually designated as a more central player. And we're cleverly playing the, sort of that, not really a number 10 because we had two players up front, but because you had those extra two players in the middle, I guess Kapoor's remit was then not to be driving forward so much. And yes, he does that dropping deep thing quite a lot anyway. We see him sort of drop in between the two central defenders, particularly when we're trying to build from the back. But yeah, he wasn't getting us forward today. And the other thing about Kapoor, and I think this is something I said last season, he was captain again today. He doesn't strike me as a captain. He's not the man to put an arm around the shoulder to cajole the players. It just seemed that when we conceded, when we were kicking off or sort of getting back in to kick off, no one was really sort of, heads were dropping. He should have been there really sort of driving the players to get back into it. And there was a little bit of it, I think, but just not enough for a captain.
I'll ask about Troy in a minute and about what his absence meant about that game, but let's stick with the defence at the moment, because it'd be wrong of us to avoid that massive issue. Another game without a clean sheet. Three conceded at home. That's six conceded in two games. It could have been a whole heap more. Jace, how do we fix it?
I would make personnel changes, I think, at this stage. We might as well. We go to Newcastle next week. That's an opportunity to pick up points. A place where we didn't get any points last year. There's a wrong we can right there. And I would make changes. I've already mentioned Firmino. I think I'd bring Janmaat back in at his previous home, of course. Now, John asked us who would be the players that could make a difference to Watford this season, who are going to step up. And I mentioned Christian Cavaselli to put pressure on the centre-back pairing, and I don't think he's having to do too much at this stage to get a place in the side. It's probably too early to judge Craig Dawson, but why not change it? Why not put Cavaselli in alongside Cathcart next week? Let's not be afraid to change things. The thing that does worry me, maybe, is that Javi doesn't always change things. He's hand forced this week with injury. Subs perhaps we'll talk about later on, but he doesn't make those too quickly. So perhaps he will stick with his settled centre-back pairing. But for me, I would change it. I'd tell Cabasele, he's your chance. Get out there and show us why you should be in the first team.
In for Dawson. Because I think, I think the other thing that sort of, Craig Dawson, I think, three league matches into his Watford career, I think it's a bit hasty to start talking about what sort of impact it had. But what is noticeable is obviously from set pieces in the opposition half, we've got one thing on our mind, that's getting it in the box to Dawson. And against a team like West Ham, probably who we would say we're on a level with, so defensively average, I guess, he didn't really have a chance, did he?
No, they seem to deal with them quite well. I mean, their centre-back pairing, they are giants,
big,
huge chaps, which and without going off on a tangent, there's another thing that annoyed me earlier on today. First took balls up to Andre Gray. I mean, he's never going to win those.
Let's have a positive though. Well, you mentioned Andre Gray then. I made a little note that just before he scored, I think it was Hughes, but a lovely ball into the box from the right hand side, where we did have quite a lot of joy in that first half. We seemed to do really well on that right hand side. Hughes put a perfect ball, landed on the penalty spot where you expect to see your striker racing in, nod it home or volley it home, whatever you want to do. He missed it. He put his hand up and apologised to Hughes for not making the run. And I made a note, I thought, ugh. But then about a minute later, took his goal and took it really well, didn't he?
Trying to sort of watch him in Troy's absence, and he was making some runs, but there were a couple of times where we put balls into the cross and no one seemed to be there to attack them. I felt a bit sorry for him that every time Delafeu put a ball into the box, again he's sort of sticking it over his head to the back post where no one is running in, which wasn't great. But yeah, he took his chance well. It was a proper striker's finish, wasn't it? It's not something we've always seen from Andre, but he took it well. And at that stage, he's sort of starting to think, okay, we've got back into the game. Andre can score goals. Let's crack on from here.
A podcast made by Watford fans for Watford fans from the Rookery end.
More from Jason and Mike in a minute. Remember, we are going to be back later in the week with another podcast, but you can always get in touch and get involved and give us your views and be part of this podcast by getting in touch on social medias at What For Podcast on Instagram, Facebook and on Twitter. But also you can email us podcast@fromtherookerend.com. Thank you very much for everyone who does send in their views. They are always very welcome. And you can and do it as freely and as often as you like. But there isn't just Mike, Jason and I in this podcast. There's also Arlo. Mike's surname is Parkin. His son called Arlo. And this is our feature, Michael Parkinson.
It gives me great pleasure to welcome once again to Michael Parkinson, Arlo. Arlo, how are you doing?
Good.
You were at the game yesterday.
Yeah.
A bit disappointing, but we try to be grown up about these things, don't we? We don't get two down, so let's try and be a little bit balanced. What was the best thing and what was the worst thing when you went to see Watford v West Ham?
The best thing was when Gray equalised, and I've got two things. When Welbeck and Sarr came on.
Oh, yeah, you enjoyed seeing them.
Yeah.
How do you think they played?
Good.
Great scoring and those guys coming on, positive. What was the worst thing about yesterday?
When we conceded our first goal.
Why the first instead of the second or third?
Because it was a penalty.
Now, one more question. I only usually ask you one. But are Watford going to be okay this season?
Yeah.
Good man. Thanks very much, Arlo.
Bye-bye.
We'll sort of couch the next two together, substitutions and up front, because we saw Sarr and Welbeck come on for their home debuts. They were being prepared while the third went in, so a different game by the time they actually got onto the pitch. But let's talk about then substitutions and your view on Javi and his is it a reticence to change it earlier in the game? Should we have changed it at 1-1 when we were on top?
Yeah, it was too late. Now there is some statistical analysis that some guys have done, some mathematicians, I think, and I the maths is my bag. I love a bit of maths. And I think it's something like you need to make your first substitution before the 59th minute, the second one before the 73rd, and the last one before the 79th, something like that. But the first one is certainly early on. If you want to make a difference, so that's sort of the optimum time to make that first substitution is before the hour mark. And we very, very rarely do. And perhaps, I'm not sure about other teams, I don't really sort of study when they make their changes. But if you want to change a game that's level or that you're behind in, you make those changes early. And
well, the interesting thing, I thought we were on top. I thought from a footballing point of view, Watford were far and away the better team. We looked open, but we looked more likely to score for a good 40-minute period in the middle chunk of the game. So do we cut Javi a bit of slack because we're on top, or do we say, right, let's get our foot really on the jugular and go for it?
A little bit, and perhaps it's easy for me to say in hindsight because we end up losing the game, but then to sort of make...
It's a common theme though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But to we're on top, we're creating things, then perhaps make one change, perhaps bring Welbeck on earlier. We, like you say, we're creating chances, we're looking like we can score, but it's that final thing, we're not actually scoring, we're not putting the ball in the back of the net. So what do you do to change that? And is that bringing on a Welbeck, or is it bringing on Sarr for Deulofeu? Because I mean, Deulofeu had a great chance first half, took too long, and at times where he's trying to put a cross in or maybe looking for a shot when it's not on, the number of times he hit the man, the opposition player nearest to him with his attempted shot or cross was unbelievable. I lost count, and that perhaps that is the small difference. It doesn't take much to between a winning and a losing performance, and we've seen that today. West Ham have then gone and taken their chances when perhaps they weren't quite on top, and all of a sudden they're the confident team and they've gone on to win it
straight after. Of course, a really, really, really good chance for Will Hughes at the back stick. We haven't seen it yet on the replay or on Match of the Day, but from where I was sat, that looked like it flashed across and it came to him, but half a yard out, back post, to surround the ball and get it in somehow, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it probably came at him quick, and I don't know how far out he was from when he made his run, but he got there. And yeah, you've got to be, yeah, I mean, he'll be massively disappointed he didn't turn that in.
And I think, you know, we've talked about defence, but I think the thing that I've got a bigger problem with than defence, which sounds a bit daft, having not kept a clean sheet since February, the real, real issue and the real frustrating thing for me is that we have the ball in good areas for a lot of these matches. You know, I watched the second half of the Everton game where I thought Watford, again, football, from a footballing point of view, had a lot of the ball in good areas, wide, getting into the box, but then whether we're just lacking a little bit of, whether it's confidence or whether it's decision making, I don't know what it is, but you fix the defence, Jase. How do we get this ball in the net? Because this is now a real issue, isn't it? We've talked about how previously we've managed to rub off the hangover, if you like, of the poor season. We haven't done it this time and we look like we're going backwards fairly quickly, so I think the crowd are still sensing that we're going to get chances and opportunities. But we just aren't scoring. That's one goal in three games without performing really, really badly. But how do we fix it up top? Is how are we going to cope without Troy?
Well, what we know is that we haven't seen much of. We saw the debut of late in the second half of Ismaïla Sarr. We also saw a bit of Danny Welbeck today. How quickly they will come into the team starters, I don't know. Might take a bit longer for Danny Welbeck, given his injury problems.
Looked good, though, today.
But looked good, yeah. Looked good, looked lively. Sort of, yeah, good touch on him. There was a little, I think, a clearance or a long ball that he sort of took down well, controlled and sort of passed all in one movement. It looked really, really good. And again, you can see him trying to break the line, anticipating the crosses that weren't coming into the box at that point. But you can see he's got it in his mind as a striker. He's a capable striker. What he needs is a service, and perhaps that will come from Sarr, and we will see him in the first team maybe a lot quicker. And as we said before, I don't want to repeat myself too much, but he will bring something different, a different dynamic to the team. The only thing that worried me about him today is that when he was brought on, he seemed to be playing a bit more narrow than I'd expect him to be. I wanted him to be out on the touchline, you know, sort of getting his getting that paint on his boots, as they say, and sort of attacking players from out wide. A couple of times he did get out there, and there's a lovely little turn, touch with the outside of his boot that sort of took two players out of the game. So again, there's a player that's got it in him to create things for us. Just need to get him in and playing and regularly and part of the team. Creating stuff at the moment, not putting the chances away, but we will see things change, see things different in that starting lineup in the coming weeks.
Big questions then. Obviously, we'll talk about Newcastle briefly in a moment, but which is a huge, huge game all of a sudden. Not just potentially for our season, but maybe even for Grathia's Watford career. But a real interesting fixture on the horizon on Tuesday night. Coventry, I don't know how they've done today, but they've made a reasonable start in their league campaign. They're bringing a lot of supporters. Watford, it'll be the atmosphere won't be one of the most vibrant on Tuesday, although I did think it was good for large parts today, so well done to the 1881. I thought they made themselves heard today. Go on, Jim.
Well, there's a point you talk about that, Mike, about the 1881. So we obviously talked about the problems with moving them last time out. They're sort of back to the left-hand side. And, apparently Watford Twitter was saying from their viewpoint that the Vic was rocking at times. And obviously you've got your viewpoint from the middle of the Elton John stand. Yeah. And how did it sound to you?
Good. Large parts, it was noisy. It was good. And it was noticeable, certainly, in the first half with Watford attacking the Vicarage Road end, which is when it can be a little quieter. They really did get the place going. And the Graham Taylor and Sir Elton John were joining in a little bit. So, yeah, it was noisy at parts. What I'd like, and this isn't a criticism, is when we are 3-1 down, we want to be hearing some noise then. I know it's difficult, it's hot, we're tired, we're annoyed, we're frustrated. But yeah, I thought the atmosphere, all things considered, was absolutely fabulous today. And yeah, it sounded good. It sounded like a real Premier League sort of ding-dong match, which it was for large parts. It was an entertaining fixture. It just ended really badly.
A podcast by Watford fans, for Watford fans. This is From the Rookery End.
Back to Cov on Tuesday then. Jase, you're heavy. How on earth do you approach this game? Because another defeat against lower league opposition isn't going to sit well with supporters, isn't going to play well for Javi as he looks to turn things round on, you know, if you take into account last season's form, a pretty dire run of form. So what's he going to do?
It's interesting. So we talked about those two attacking players that haven't seen much football yet. So do you use that as an opportunity to give them some more game time? Now, is that planned substitutions maybe. I say, is it a no-risk game for Javi? Because it is the League Cup, it's not the Premier League. We know a lot of Premier League teams will make changes. I'm sure we will make a big number of changes. And I talked about Cabatelli maybe coming in for Newcastle. Perhaps this is his opportunity. Give him 90 minutes on Tuesday night. Let's see how good you really are in a match situation. Okay, it's not Premier League opposition, but you've still got to go out there and put in a performance. So a chance for players that are on the fringes. They'll have seen the performances, so they know that we haven't picked up any points so far in our Premier League season. So they must know, okay, if I apply myself in training and I get a chance to show myself in a competitive fixture, this could be my chance of getting to the team.
We've identified that Watford can't defend, they can't score. John's not here, but if he was, he'd be on at us to come up with some positives. I'm going to sort of claim the midfield as a vague positive, not the big names, if you like, but I thought Will Hughes and Tom Cleverley on his return, I thought both put in decent shifts today, and I think they'll be obviously pretty peeved with the result like the rest of us, but they'll be pleased with their performances. Can we take any other positives from that afternoon?
Mate, it's hard, isn't it? I thought Foster looked a bit more confident today. There was that great save, I think, I can't remember who ran through, might have been Mikel Antonio.
Just before the third.
I'm not sure if it's still one all, it might be one at one all as well, where he's come out and he's challenged the striker, sort of punched the ball.
Yes.
And then come out and then sort of, put in a tackle whenever it was that was following up. Might have been Felipe Anderson if he was still on the pitch at that point.
Yeah, very dominant, wasn't it? He came out, he'd made his mind up and went for it. It was, that was impressive.
And I don't think we'd seen that previously so far this season. So that's better, and that's a bit more encouraging. But other than that, it is tricky. It is tricky to find any positives when you've lost your first three games of the season.
Yeah, by some margin this afternoon, we've come up short. So there you have it. It's finished here. Watford 1, we scored, but the opposition have scored 3. Serious, serious work to do then. Newcastle United on the horizon, Jace. How big is that game now?
It feels big, doesn't it? I mean, I have a friend who's a West Ham fan, and I sent him a message before this one saying, in my seat, ready for the relegation 6-pointer, smiley, laughy emoji thingy. Because, of course, I'm joking at this stage of the season. But you don't want to be stuck at the bottom of the table for too long. And you don't want to be saying, oh, yeah, well, we did well here. We look quite good in patches. Oh, yeah, we were on top, but for too long. But you don't want to be plucky losers all the time. We used to be plucky losers back in 2006, 2007. And we got relegated that year. We don't want to be doing that again. So we need to, we actually need to put in these good individual performances that we're getting from certain players, these good patches of dominance that we're getting in certain games where we're looking like the better team. We need to turn those into points.
Yeah, I was thinking exactly the same thing. I was thought, you know, actually in the grand scheme of things, there were some positives about the actual overall performance, which it sounds weird to say when we've identified both defence and attack as being pretty useless, but it was a reasonable-ish performance. But I think that's probably the sort of thing you'd have heard Fulham supporters say last year, Swansea supporters say the year before that, Villa supporters say the year before. Decent in patches, ain't going to cut it in this division. And what have we played now? We've played Brighton and Hove, Albion, who I think have lost at home today. We played Everton, who didn't look great last night against Aston Villa, and now we've been pretty much dismembered. Well, that sounds a bit harsh, but taken apart by West Ham. And these aren't good teams. These aren't great teams. You look about what's coming up at some stage. You know, we've got Arsenal. Then we're going to have to play Liverpool. We've got Man City. We've got United. This could get ugly pretty quickly, couldn't it, Jace?
Yeah, absolutely. As I mentioned, United, Palace have picked up points.
At United
today. They've won at United. Can you see us winning at United in this sort of form? We talk about teams at our level. Palace are very similar to us. We've not got that in us at the moment, I don't think, the way we're playing, despite the sort of the good patch and the dominance. The weaknesses mean that we will not be capable of getting results like that.
So the next 7 days, this time in 7 days, how much more will we know about our season?
We'll know a little bit more. I probably wouldn't...
7 days worth more.
Probably, I probably wouldn't place too much relevance on the Coventry game. I can't see us playing too many first teamers, players that have played big parts so far this season. And if there is a giant killing, that shouldn't have an impact on them or on the Premier League season. But that Newcastle game is big. And then After that, it's an international break, and we don't want to be going into an international break sitting adrift
with nil point.
With nil point. And Javi won't want to be. And we're talking with, bumped into Geordie earlier, and a long-time listener, David Mullins, talking about this and saying, yeah, what happens in the international break if we haven't won any games? Are the Pozzos in a position? It seems a bit crazy to say it, but how long would the Pozzos want to go on trying to find out where we're going to pick up our first points from?
We've often defended the change of manager by saying, you know, you look at teams who have persisted with a manager or coaching staff that have ended the season poorly because they've gone into it. We mentioned about Villa earlier and you know, Sunderland before them, Swansea. They've struggled, kept the same manager, gone into the start of the next season, and before you know it, they're behind the eight ball. And we're not there yet. We're absolutely not yet. It's three games in. You don't want to throw the baby out of the bathwater, but you do see the bigger picture. And the other thing about this Watford team for me is that they've very, very rarely shown that they're willing to dig in and turn round a poor run of form. I don't think we've seen it really happen since we've been back in the Premier League. We've had good results here and there, but when the tide has turned against us, I'm struggling to think of when they've really managed to turn it back again.
Well, I think I made this point on our WhatsApp. There was the when Javi first came in, he had to turn it around. That group of players struggling under Marco Silva, who'd effectively down tools, it seemed. But that was a poor run of form, and confidence would have gone with that. So he would have needed to have put the confidence back into the team. And we came up against a Chelsea side who, okay, they weren't great on the night, and we got lucky that Bakayoko had a fit of rage, but we still had to go out and put a performance in. And when they equalised, when Hazard scored with about 10 minutes or so to go, you think, oh god, that's it, we've blown this one, we've thrown this away. But they saw it within themselves to turn it around, and boy, did they turn it around at that point. So we have done it with a lot of this group of players. A lot of them would have been there at that time. Yeah, so it's up to them and up to Javi to show they can do that again.
I think, and I said this, I did respond in this way on the group, I think that was one game, and I think Chelsea were absolutely appalling. You talked about Marco Silva downing tools. I've never seen a team down tools en masse like that. It was one of the most extraordinary performances from a visiting team I've ever seen. And yes, obviously it was an important win for us, and it basically probably kept us up in the scheme of things. I just have a doubt about these guys getting in the trenches. I don't think we've seen it enough when the bad stuff's really hit the fan, whether they've managed to turn it around. I'm talking not just in a game when there's been a tidal wave of poor form, which you know, tidal wave is probably a bit harsh, but we have had some bad runs. What I'm saying is we need to see some. We're going to find out a lot about these guys fairly quickly. But the sun's shining. Plenty of the season to go. We've got a next assault on a Wembley trip starts on Tuesday. A winnable game away on Saturday. The season's just starting a little bit later, isn't it, Jase?
Exactly. And you say it is a winnable game in Newcastle. This is probably coming at a good time to us. And you talk about the sort of that Chelsea game saving our season, sort of turning it around for us. And that's all it takes. That's what it takes. It will be a decent win, or maybe it's a scrappy late winner. And a place like Newcastle, where if they've struggled to get their season going, their fans will know that we've been struggling. Yeah. If we can get control of that game early on, if we are the team that is dominant like we were in patches today, their fans will get on their back. We know that in their manager and Steve Bruce probably would have been a popular appointment up at St James's Park with the fans. So they will probably get on his back quite quickly if we can get on top in that game. So it is probably not the perfect opportunity, but a very good opportunity for us to turn our season around, but to get our season going.
Kickstart it. Javi, lads, it's over to you.